and welcome to our podcast, Silk Flowers and
Paper Mache Hearts. This is your host, Eric Hart.
And Ashley Flowers.
And this is our very first episode of our podcast. And we're so excited to be doing this, finally.
It's going to be great. It's going to be an adventure. And I hope y'all like it.
It is. I know I listen to a lot of podcasts, but there's never been one about props for the theater professional, the live performing arts professional, and all that sort of thing.
We thought this would be a great opportunity to educate everybody on props. Maybe you're new to it. Maybe you've been doing it for a real long time. You might learn something new. And just to explore the world of props. And we're going to have a variety of guests to interview throughout this process. We're going to talk about projects that we've done, different ways to do things.
I know. I'm excited. I love talking to props people.
Right? They're always the most interesting people I find in theater world.
Yeah. They have the most stories, the most interesting stories, the most roundabout histories as to how they got there.
Exactly.
So we should probably talk about ourselves first and let everybody know who we are and why we're doing this.
No one knows who I am, so we'll get there, guys.
They will. I think it was interesting when we first started talking that we actually almost met many years ago. You were going to Ball State University and you were in John Sadler's class and he had me Skype in to talk to the class and you were there. What were your thoughts about that whole thing?
Well, it was so fascinating because that was the time where I was still figuring out what props even was. And it was so nice to talk to a professional that focuses in props and just telling your story about where you came from and what kind of props you did. And it really was eye-opening to think, oh, wow, you can make those things and have a living. And so it was so fascinating, you know?
I'm trying to remember. That must have been 2013, 14. That was a while ago.
I think it was 2012 or 13. Yeah.
Okay, great.
Yeah, because I was a sophomore, junior when I started doing props.
Cool. So then you went off after graduation to New York City right away?
Yeah. My senior year of college, I got an internship at Foxwoods Theater, which is now the Lyric Theater, where Spider-Man the Musical was playing. And that was fun. And I was a general management intern. And one of the interns previous of me was an intern at the Public as well. So he introduced me to Jay Duckworth, the props master there. And I called him up. He said, here's the phone to Faye Armand. We're doing Fun Home. She's working on it. She said, what are you doing tomorrow? And I said, I guess I'm coming in to work.
Right.
And so I just eventually started following her around doing different shows. It was an amazing experience. And then once I graduated, I came back to New York and just freelance. And it was such a great experience.
And I think it's funny because I was Jay Duckworth's assistant. And I also worked with Faye Armone a few times, literally like months before you must have gotten to the city. Because I remember Fun Home was one of the shows coming up right as I was leaving the Public Theater.
That's amazing.
So you jumped in. Yeah.
We almost crossed paths.
So tell me about Fun Home, because that did end up going to Broadway. What sort of things did you do on that?
I just did a lot of gluing things down to the sets, because I kind of jumped in right before tech.
Right.
So there wasn't a lot of building or anything. And it was very embarrassing, because I swear everything I would glue would just come undone. I was just using the wrong adhesives. I didn't know what I was doing.
Right.
But yet they were so nice and understanding. They're like, it's going to be okay. Don't worry about it. But, oh, it was so embarrassing.
Knowing what glue to use. We'll cover that in this podcast. So then you graduated and then you came back and you freelanced. Were you working with Faye again or?
Yeah, I was working with Faye a lot. And then I started getting my own shows as props master. And that was very exciting. And it was weird because in the city, it's mostly shopping, especially for the off-Broadway shows. There's not a lot of opportunity to build things. But I also liked it because it was more of a management kind of aspect. Mm-hmm. So that was a lot of fun. It was a good experience. And then after a few months, I got an internship at Yale, and it was props internship. It was year long. You got to take three classes, graduate classes, a semester, mm-hmm. and work in the prop shop. I worked with the most talented people there, and it blows my mind to think back and be like, wow, I learned so much. I mean, it was outrageous, and I was doing upholstery, and I'm like, I've never done that before. You know, they kind of like threw you to the wolves, and you're like, all right, we're going to build this today. Mm-hmm. But no, it was good. It was real good. And then went back to the city. And then about a year or so after, the props assistant position opened up at Yale, applied, got that, and that's where I am today.
Mm-hmm. Great. And now you're doing that. And you're working with Jen McClure, who I just met back at USITT.
Yeah, she's pretty awesome.
And who we're definitely going to have on the show at some point.
Yeah, that's going to be a thing. I've already told her that.
And you've been doing some workshops too? You just flew out and did a workshop?
Yeah, I think it was in Missouri.
One of the M states.
One of those. But yeah, one of my friends worked at one of the colleges there and was like, you want to come do a workshop? And it was a 4-hour workshop. There's no way I can do this for 4 hours. But I did. And everybody mm-hmm. seemed real interested. And so I'm going to start doing a little bit more college workshops, which I'm pretty excited about. Mm-hmm. So what about you?
So yeah, who am I?
Who are you, Eric Hart, who's written 3 books?
No, it's only the 2. One has 2 editions. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, only 2.
Yeah, so I guess for those who don't know, I wrote the prop building guidebook for theater, film, and television, and the newly released prop effects guidebook.
Which is really cool. I just got it a couple weeks ago and been flipping through it. It's pretty neat.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, yeah. I taught a class in weapons and special effects, and I was actually using that book before it came out. Like, well, this class is on.
Amazing.
Yeah, but so I started out a few years ago, actually went to undergrad for engineering. I didn't like it. It wasn't hands-on enough. Yeah. I found myself in the theater department and graduating with a theater degree.
Oh, wow.
And sort of worked as a kind of stagehand, general carpenter, that kind of thing. And I thought I wanted to be a scene designer, so I went back to grad school for scene design.
Oh, cool.
And I went to Ohio University, where I started working in the prop shop with Tom Fiocchi. So, of course, if you've ever met Tom Fiocchi, you know he's props extraordinaire, incredible enthusiasm for props, a great resource. So I got a summer job at the Santa Fe Opera as a props carpenter, where I got to work with Randy Lutz, another incredible mentor in the world of props. So from there, my fate was basically sealed. Started working around. I actually ended up leaving grad school because I didn't want to be a scene designer, but I ended up working in Actors Theater of Louisville, a couple more summers at the Santa Fe Opera, and eventually mm-hmm. found my way to New York City, bunch of freelancing around there. And then I eventually met Jay Duckworth, the props master at the Public Theater, started working there as a carpenter, general artisan, and eventually moved my way up to his assistant for 2 years. And then, you know, ton of freelancing work off Broadway, building stuff for all sorts of stuff, some Broadway stuff as well. And finally, my wife got a job down at Elon University in North Carolina. So mm-hmm. I moved down here and became the prop master at Triad yeah. Stage, which is a small, almost Lort theater in Greensboro, North Carolina. And yeah, had my books published, and now I'm also teaching at UNCSA in their props program. I try to keep busy.
Nice, nice.
Yeah, so UNCSA is one of the first graduate programs for props. I think it started in either the 80s or the 90s.
Oh, that's awesome.
And so they have an undergraduate degree in props and a graduate degree in props. And there, you know, as you know, there's very few mm-hmm. graduate programs in props around the country. UNCSA has one of the longest running ones. Ohio University has one of the longest running ones. And there's a couple other scattered throughout. They kind of come and go, you know, they'll have them for a few years and then they'll leave. So, but UNCSA is a conservatory style program. I think they're one of the earliest state funded art schools in the country.
Mm-hmm.
So they have a Bland Wade at the school, has been teaching props people for the past 30 years.
Oh, wow.
Another person we're definitely going to have on the show. He used to work with like Thurston James. So he has a long history of working with almost nearly everybody in the country.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
And so for the classes that you teach, how is it kind of structured? Do you have a class like specifically for upholstery and furniture making, or how is that broken down?
Yeah, this was my first semester, so they have a couple of classes that they always teach. I taught the props fabrication class, mm-hmm. which covers molding and casting, vacuum forming, sculpting,
yes.
all that kind of stuff. And then in the fall, they have furniture construction class, which is their carpentry and things like that. I'm still trying to figure it out. They're teaching an upholstery class this coming fall. They don't always teach that. I taught it was weapons and special effects, which covered weapons mm-hmm. and special effects. They have a props management class, they have a career development class, and then they have a sort of random assortment of classes taught by other departments if they wanted to take them, so they could learn mm-hmm. welding from the scenery department, or they can learn, you know, rigging, you know, they could do 3D printing, laser cutting, they could of course take any of the scene painting classes.
Oh, nice.
Learn prosthetics from wigs and makeup, or even animatronics, that sort of thing. And then they have all sorts of special topics that they could take, or independent studies they could take as well, depending on what they want to study. We're working on like a set dressing class, which they might have taught once or twice before. So they, you know, there's a good amount, there's a good possibility of classes that mm-hmm. they could teach. It's definitely a lot different from most colleges where they have one props class, or even just, you know, the 3 days of props in their general technical class. I know in undergrad, we did not have any props classes or anything like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we only had one.
I didn't know props was really a thing in undergrad. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a little surprising. It's like props. Oh, that's when you grab glasses from the closet.
I know when I started college, I had no idea what props were. You know, I was that person who's like, I'm going to be an actress.
Mm-hmm.
And then I quickly learned I suck at this. Right. So like, no. Mm-hmm. And then I kind of fell into props and I was hooked.
Mm-hmm. So what kind of projects did you start out doing? Were you doing the crafts? Were you doing the carpentry?
In college, I was doing a lot of carpentry. And I'm sure mm-hmm. Jen McClure is laughing as she's watching this because I like don't do carpentry at Yale. I like avoid it like the mm-hmm. plague.
Right.
But, you know, I did a lot of carpentry because I was technically, I was the prop stock manager. So I organized stock and then they kind of made me mm-hmm. a shop carpenter. And then finally was doing crafts about my senior year, which I really enjoyed. But the internships that I did, specifically Yale, is when I got hands-on crafty stuff, upholstery stuff. And upholstery is one of my favorite things to do. You know, it's always different. You never know what you're going to find underneath that fabric.
Mm-hmm.
And mold making is another favorite of mine, and faux taxidermy. Those are kind of my three specialties that I love to do, could do them all day long.
Mm-hmm.
What about you?
I started out as a carpenter. I actually was lucky in my high school. I had a woodshop class. And so we spent half a year learning hand drafting, which came in very handy. And then the next half of the year I built a bookshelf. We had a giant planer. We had to plane all of our wood down and join it all that, you know, from scratch, kind of from raw wood, just building this whole thing. And then, you know, doing like scenic carpentry and stuff like that. So that was always handy because I could always find work as carpenter, whether it was building furniture building sets. People were always hiring that. And then when I learned welding, that came in really handy too. Mm-hmm. I was interested in all the other parts of props. I had to sort of learn on my own time all the like craft parts because I was missing that whole half. It's like, I'm going to, you know, you hired me to build this thing and I'm also going to sculpt this thing while I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to put it in the show because I want to learn how to do it. And molding and casting, I'm sure I could figure it out. So yeah, all that kind of came later. And now, especially at Triad Stage, because it's a shop of two, it's me and an apprentice. So I kind of have to be able to build potentially anything. And, you know, it's a whole lot of figuring mm-hmm. out like what needs to be built, what needs to be bought. And I also do a lot of, just to keep myself sane, I pick one project I'm going to enjoy on every show. So at least I have something to look mm-hmm. forward to while I'm working on that show. And when the show is done, I have something I'm like proud of, like, well, at least I, you know, built this thing and it's up there on stage. Mm-hmm. I didn't just shop the entire show from eBay on my phone while I was sitting in tech from the previous show, which could easily happen. Now I'm the props master and not necessarily just a props builder, which has always been a change. But I think like a lot of props people, you get to this point because there's not that many full-time prop artisan jobs. You sort of get promoted promoted up until management. And so you're trying to figure out like how to have this full-time prop master or assistant prop master job while you're also wanting to build things.
Yeah, it's interesting because like you said, when you're a props master, sometimes you just don't have the time to build something. And it can get frustrating. And I love the management side of props. I really do. I'm a total nerd. But, you know, there's days that I'm like, I need to build something. Give me a paper prop, anything.
Right, yeah. I definitely enjoy that too. I love, you know, Excel spreadsheets and notes and things yeah. like that and having, you know, solving the problems. I always feel like this job is kind of, it's protected because so many people don't want to do it. Mm-hmm. And it's when you have these rehearsal reports where everybody has two notes and then props has a page full of notes. And everybody else is like, oh my God, poor props. They have to do all of that by tomorrow. And you're just looking at it like, 95% of these are super easy.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
Like, all right, a nice big list I could
cross you know, jump that off
into and figure it out. Yeah. It's like, take the tag off the chair, please. You know? Oh, okay.
I'll get that. And then the director is like so shocked. They're like, oh my gosh, you did all of these. Thank you so much. Or they like don't care at all.
Wow, we have props in rehearsal. This is great. And it's like, what else am I supposed to do? This is my job. Of course, you're going to have props.
Yeah, rehearsal reports. We'll get into that on another episode because I think that's important to talk about because it's just there's so much information you need from a rehearsal report that you usually don't get.
I'm kind of happy that my classes at UNCSA, I do have stage managers who take some of them as well. So there's an opportunity to kind of train them in terms of what props people want. Because a lot of times you get some stage managers who don't want to put everything in a rehearsal report because they're scared of like inundating the props person or scaring them off or something, even though you need all that information. And you're like, I'd rather have all of it. Just put it all in and that sort of thing. And yeah, I talk with other props people all the times about what you want to teach stage managers of how to phrase rehearsal report requests and notes and things like that, like good ways and bad ways. So I think that's totally an entire episode. Yeah, that's one of the reasons I wrote the book was I wanted to learn every other aspect of props, and that was a good opportunity to do it. I was looking around and there wasn't anything that existed. The Thurston James books were decades old and in black and white and didn't cover all sorts of things. And nothing was really happening. And it was at a point where I thought like, oh, I know everything about props. I could write this book. Luckily, I wasn't the age net where I am now where I'm like, well, I totally don't know enough to write a book. So I just kind of jumped right into it and wrote it. And I got the chance to learn a little bit about everything because once I started actually writing it, I realized I knew, you know, one chapter. And every other chapter I had to teach myself and actually do and do well enough that I could photograph pictures of myself doing it to put into the book. But I got, you know, I got this chance to build all this stuff. And as part of the book, I also had to do all these videos. So I got a chance to like start making videos and find I really like that. So now, you know, if I do a little personal project, just something I want to build, you know, I'll build it and I'll take a video of it so I could put it on my blog and maybe eventually put it in my book. And then I have, you know, there's like four different places it's showing up. Plus I get to build a prop. So I kind of like, I come home from work and then my hobby is just doing the same thing I do at work.
Yeah. And I think it's important to practice and build things outside of work. You know, you constantly got to be working on the craft. And sometimes when you're at work, you don't get to build things that you're very interested in. And to go home and be like, you know what? I'm going to make this mold today because I need to work on my three-part mold. It's, you know, I think it's important for people to do that.
Totally. So Ashley, why you're the one who kind of got the ball rolling on this podcast.
Yes.
What were your hopes for what this would be?
I just, it was a random thought. And I was like, you know what? There's no podcasts about props.
Right.
And there's so many young people getting into props, or maybe people who weren't even into props. They don't know what props are. Maybe like, and I thought it'd be great to educate those people. But then I was like, I want to also, you know, expand that and get to everybody. You know, even if you've been doing it for 30 years, you can still learn something. And, you know, learning about how this person made this prop versus how another person made the same prop. Mm-hmm. And analyzing that and figuring out there's a million ways to do one thing. Mm-hmm. And why not share all that information? You know, I feel that props people, we have our community, specifically in New York, and we should share. We should learn from each other. So that was kind of the thought that I had behind that, and was excited. And I thought, you know what? Mm-hmm. I'm going to throw it on the Facebook page and see what happens.
Yeah, and you got a pretty good response.
I did. I was really shocked. But and then mm-hmm. you answered, and what was your thoughts about it when you first saw it?
I had kind of been toying with the idea of a podcast for a while, and it's mostly like I didn't want to do it by myself, and I didn't think, you know, it's always like, well, I don't have time yeah. to do this, so I can't start asking random people if they want to do a podcast or something like that. You know, I've been kind of like with my blog tracking the, you know, as much information about props as I possibly could, and I've always wanted to interview people, and I've done a few interviews, and doing interviews to write them down is so time consuming, because you have to do the interview and then you have to like transcribe the whole thing and write the story, and the few times I've done it have taken so much time I just could never bring myself to do another one. So I'm thinking, well, if I do a podcast, then we just sit there and we talk and we put that out there and it's great and it's done. And so I saw your post and I'm like, well, if I don't jump on this, then somebody else is gonna do it, and then there's gonna be another podcast out there for props, and then when I show up it'll be like, oh well, Eric's doing his own. Because yeah, like I listen to a few podcasts, but they're mostly, you know, they're cosplay related, or they're kind of movie special effects or special effects makeup. Mm-hmm. So there's nothing really props focused. And that was mm-hmm. the same thing with my blog, is there's a lot of things out there for hobbyists. There's a lot of things out there for woodworkers and any of the specific yeah. crafts, but like anything for props, you know, if you want to see what somebody, you know, just talking about like rehearsal notes, like we were talking about earlier, things happening in front of an audience, or, you know, how do you deal with the lighting department or the sound department, all these sort of things. There's nothing out there. And so essentially I just want to make a podcast that I want to listen to.
Yeah.
And I hope that's what this would be.
I totally agree. And like you said, I love interviewing people because it's so fascinating hearing people's stories, because, you know, they're always so different. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they're absolutely crazy. And it's just so cool. I love talking to new people.
Mm-hmm. Totally. And I think there's a ton of people we're going to talk to. I know just in New York, but as we figure this out, maybe we could get some mm-hmm. remote interviews going. And then if any of us travel, we could try to pick up some, you know, who's ever there, because really, like, anywhere you go in the country, there's going to be some props person in some basement of a theater somewhere doing really, really interesting work that nobody has seen before.
And that's like this summer, I'll be going to San Diego working at the Old Globe Theater. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, I want to interview the props master there, and I'm sure there's more theaters like La Jolla there, and get in touch with them, because I think it's very interesting, the West Coast and how they function.
Yeah, there's a totally different thing going on there. I mean, if you go up to LA, they have the film industry there, which takes up mm-hmm. anybody who can hold an X-Acto blade is probably working for film, but they still have their small amounts of theater as well.
Yep, it's so true. Well, I think we've gotten to the end of this episode. We have a Twitter account if you guys want to follow us. It's at Silk Mache. And you can go to our website, which is silkflowersandpapermachehearts.com. And if you guys want to email us and share your ideas, thoughts, questions, email us at propspodcast@gmail.com.
And I think you should be able to subscribe to us on iTunes once we figure out how to set that up. Silk Flowers and Paper Mache Hearts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. All of that will be on our website, I'm sure.
We'll keep you updated.
Cool. So until next time, this is Eric Hart.
And this is Ashley Flowers.